This is Taylor Talk, the number one Taylor Swift podcast, brought to you by TaylorTalk.org. Hello, Taylor Nation, and welcome to episode 91 of Taylor Talk, the Taylor Swift podcast. My name is Adam.
I'm Diane.
And I'm Steve.
And in case you couldn't tell by the excitement in my voice, we've got a great episode for you because we've got something very special, new Taylor music.
Yeah.
Don't Yay. Sound too thrilled there, Steve.
I love these days.
You love the days? So
yeah,
this
when
is
we get new Taylor music. It's exciting.
Yeah. All right. It is exciting, and that's why we have these special edition episodes dedicated exclusively to the new song, which, as you all should know by now, it is Sweeter Than Fiction off the One Chance soundtrack. We'll talk about that in a few minutes, but before we get going, I actually have a joke for you guys.
Okay.
And I'm starting to love these jokes because the whole idea of a joke, which has nothing to do with Taylor Swift, has become so popular, I don't even need to come up with these jokes anymore. People are sending them in to me, so it's great.
Yeah, that makes your job really easy.
It does. And today's joke comes from RedTSwift13, who emailed us, and it's actually her dad's joke. So we'll see if dad is funny here. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
What would Taylor Swift call her kids?
Little Swifties? I don't know.
Taylor Tots.
Like Tater Tots.
Nice.
That makes me hungry. Shoot, I want some fried food.
Diane, you're always hungry.
I am.
Anyway, Diane, as long as you're so chatty and talkative today, can you give us the news, please, before we get to Sweeter Than Fiction?
I will. We just have a couple things to go through. So last week, Taylor was honored for the sixth time okay guys, that's a lot of times. She was nominated for the sixth time as Songwriter Artist of the Year by the Nashville Songwriters Association International. That is no doubt a huge honor. As she was accepting her award, she spoke about songwriting for her upcoming fifth studio album. She said, "I think the goal for the next album is to continue to change and never change in the same way twice. It's my fifth album, which is crazy to think about, but I think what I'm noticing about it so far is it's definitely taking a turn, a different turn than anything I've done before."
Wow, so that's a lot all in one. She actually kind of hints towards the fifth album being different.
Yeah. Maybe we'll get like a hip-hop album or like a... I don't know. I hope not, actually.
Well, we can talk about that when the time comes. But speaking to that award, though, the sixth time is impressive. I believe that's a record. I think she's the first person to get that six times, right?
Yeah, it's incredible.
Cool. So congrats, Taylor. And what else we got?
Well, she was nominated for the 2013 ARIA Awards, which are like Australia's version of the Grammys.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I read that online.
it must be true.
Obviously. She's nominated for Red in the Best International Artist category. And the ARIA Awards will air on December 1st.
Great. Thank you for the news, Diane. All right, guys. The moment you have been waiting for, our main topic of the episode. Well, you've been waiting, what, about a minute or two? It's not that long a wait. I'm sure you made it. Anyway, Sweeter Than Fiction. It's the new track Taylor performed. She co-wrote it with Jack Antonoff, the guitarist for Fun, and it was for the One Chance movie soundtrack. One Chance is the film adaptation of the life of Paul Potts, a mobile phone salesman who went on to have a career in opera after winning Britain's Got Talent. So, we're going to get talking about that. It was just released in the UK and the US and several other countries. So, hey...
What?
So Taylor's fifth album is supposed to be different, right? What if it's an opera album?
That would be different.
I don't know if she is qualified. Like, I don't think she's a Paul Potts.
All right. It's just a joke anyway. So initial impressions. What did you guys think of the song?
It's very poppy and it's very yuppie and very positive, which is nice because we get a lot of songs from her that are very dark and very sad. And I think it's nice to hear something that's very positive. So I liked it.
Steve?
It's a very slick song, very dancey. Like, I seriously, when I listened to the iTunes preview there, it was like I was just dancing around, just having a good time. It's such a good song.
Right. Now, you know what my first impression was when I first heard it? As soon as it got to the chorus, what popped in my head was it sounded like a song you would hear in a Hilary Duff movie as she's like riding through Europe on the back of some boy's moped, like
that
down a cobblestone street.
That part did have kind of like almost like a Disney-esque sort of rhythm and beat to it. Like just that, just the, what, the four lines of the chorus. That's it.
Right.
And after that, it kind of has very Taylor-like song sounds.
Sure. Yeah, no, and I think the lyrics are what make it a Taylor song, which we'll definitely get to in a moment. But I think just in a more general broad concept, do you think it's a coincidence it released almost exactly a year down to the day after Red, her
yeah,
album?
Yeah, I think it's, yeah, I think that was just random because it's not like she was
controlling
in
the release
of the movie, you know, like
that's true.
Completely out of her hands.
You are correct, Diane. You are correct.
Thank you very much.
All right. So let's talk Paul Potts for a minute, the guy the story is based on. So his story, as I mentioned briefly, is, of course, he was a mobile phone salesman, won Britain's Got Talent, and now he's a big celebrity, and they're making a movie out of him. And his story inspired Taylor. So what part of the story do you guys think was that inspiration to Taylor? Like, where did that come from? Like, why was she like, I want to be a part of this?
Oh, I know the answer to this one. This one goes back to another episode where we mentioned that good trivia question. The Taylor's grandma was an opera singer.
Oh.
Yes.
I didn't even
think
about
that. Yeah,
that
probably has something to do with it.
Now, I think beyond that, Steve, now, I don't know how valid this is,
okay,
but supposedly Simon Cowell was the connecting factor between the movie and Taylor herself.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it was at the time she was dating Harry Styles when the whole thing came about, and Simon is connected to One Direction in some way, shape, or form, and that's how he got
well,
to Taylor.
Well, he, like, started them, basically. Like, he, like, brought them all together.
Okay, so whatever the case may be. But either way, the script got into Taylor's hands, and she read the story of the movie, and that's what inspired her. And something I thought that was very, very cool about that was, you know, a lot of news articles, I feel like, are a little bit uninformed, not to put down anyone, but people are talking about, oh, Taylor was so inspired and by Paul Potts. But if you read through the lyrics and things like that,
it's not about him at all. I mean,
it's not.
No, it's about his wife, which I think is really sweet. And, you know, I'm a girl and I'm sappy like that. So I totally understand why she loved their story and their love story, actually, because the whole song is about his wife and how she saw that Paul Potts was great, like, from the start, like, you know, from, you know, like when they first met and when they were together and what, like, she always knew that he was going to be great. And he finally got to be great, and she was like, I told you so. Like, that's my man. It's really cute. So.
Right, and
it is.
You know, something I think it's a shame on the part of the news organizations that they don't necessarily do their background research, but if you go back roughly a month to when this movie premiered at the Toronto International Film Festival, there was an interview with Taylor, because she was in attendance, where they asked her what her inspiration was. So it's really not even a mystery. Like, she said exactly what it was. And she said, you know, that after reading the script, she's like, you expect a story about a guy making his dreams come true. But she said in the script, and this is actually why I'm curious to see the movie, is to see how they integrated the two stories. She said there's also a really, like, passionate love story about the unconditional love of Paul Potts' wife towards him. And specifically, I actually wrote down the quote. I transcribed an audio interview, go figure. Anyway, so she said, that was the story that hit me and really affected me. So I wanted to tell a story musically from that perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So that's from the words of Taylor herself. And if you look at the lyrics, you know, there's one particular line that says, you know, 'cause I loved you when you hit the ground, oh, oh. You know what I mean? And that is...
Is that the first line?
No, hit the ground, oh, is the first line.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a part where it expands upon it and says, I loved you when you hit the ground.
Oh, yeah.
Because from the first line, you can't determine the fact that it is, in fact, from his wife's perspective. However, when you read that line, it is. very obvious.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, you know, I was going to ask you guys the question, does this song fit Pol Pot's story? However, I think that's hard to determine, because do you guys know anything about his wife?
I mean, we haven't seen the movie yet, so I think that's really hard to make that claim.
Right. So, I mean, it is very interesting, and I think it's definitely... what was I going to say? I totally lost my train of thought here, but... Yeah, it's interesting. That's what I was going to say. It's interesting to see a story Taylor wrote, a love story specifically, from someone else's perspective, because we've seen her write her own love stories. We've seen her write fictional love stories, but this is someone else's love story.
Well, she also did that with Starlight too. I mean, that was
Starlight was
love
fiction
story.
Though. It was based on a true story. This is
That's true.
A true story.
This is sweeter than fiction, not fiction.
Yeah,
she
so,
didn't need to add any fiction to it because it was already perfect. That's really cute. Jeez, Taylor, you're gonna make me cry.
Oh, so Steve, you've been quiet. I'm sorry, I've been very dominating in my speak. But what are your thoughts on the story of the song and lyrics and how they work together?
Well, I think the lyrics work amazingly together. There's a couple of like very cool lines throughout there that like. Just kind of like blew me away, like most Taylor stuff.
Which line, Steve, do you like?
You know, probably one of my favorite ones is, and in this perfect weather, it's like we don't remember the rain we thought would last forever and ever.
Yeah.
Which kind of refers back to like, so a little bit on the Pol Pot story. He kind of got down on his luck. Like, you know, he really wanted to be an opera singer, really wanted to, you know, make a career out of it. And he was on the amateur circuit. It just so happened that, you know, getting little gigs here and there was all he had. And then in 2003, he was hit by a car when he was riding his bicycle. And it pretty much, at that point in time, he did not really sing at all anymore. And he just continued. He worked at the cell phone store. And it wasn't until the Britain's Got Talent contest came by about 5 years later that he even thought to try singing again.
Steve, it's mobile phone. We're talking UK here. We call them cells here in the US.
Okay, mobile phone. A mobile phone.
I'm giving you a hard time.
Or is it mobile phone?
Mobile.
It's a mobile.
Mobile yeah. phone. So. but that's really the main thing there is, you know, he was down on his luck. He had a lot of debt. And to be able to be at your very rock bottom and then shoot up so high is just amazing to see that happen.
Well, I do love how inspirational the song is, Steve. And it's interesting that you brought up the line you did, because in my own notes, when I was prepping for this episode, I wrote that same line, the part where it says the rain we thought would last forever and ever. And I think that's so applicable to so many people right now as we are just pulling out of a global recession, not just the U.S. recession, but like the entire world's been in kind of a funk. And a lot of people are down on their luck. And this song is showing, you know, the story of Pol Potts, who managed to be at a low in his life and pull out of it.
Absolutely.
And it actually reminded me of a really interesting quote that I actually learned from the guy I work for. I don't know who said it because I heard it from, like I said, the guy I work for, but it's a very simple quote. Life's a marathon, not a sprint.
Very true.
And that's what this song reminds me of. And I think Taylor's portrayal of Pol Pot's story and specifically his wife's support of him is showing that you can really get through those lows in your life.
And that really shows what's the difference between someone that's successful and not is, you know, sometimes when it seems like everything is stacked against you, you got to keep going. That's really the most important thing to remember.
Right. And what I was also thinking in addition to that is while this does have sort of a different vibe to it than most of Taylor's catalog of songs. And, you know, I even asked you guys earlier, you know, what you thought of the perspective being telling someone else's story. And I think somehow Taylor has still, despite it being a different perspective than any of her other songs, has still managed to make it a relatable song that most of her audience is going to listen to.
Absolutely.
And appreciate and relate to and all that. And I think it's going to be just as big a hit as any of her other songs. In fact, I saw a tweet from our good friends over at T-Swift on Tour not that long ago saying something that it's already in the top 20 iTunes list in Brazil.
Oh.
And speaking of the lyrics, in the chorus, I'm still trying to figure out what she says.
Which part are you talking about?
The part where she says, is it this love is sweeter than fiction or this life is sweeter than fiction?
Sometimes when I listen, I hear life and sometimes I hear love. And I'm confused about that too. I think the word love would fit better with the theme of the song.
Right.
You know, with the wife and whatnot. But I don't know.
And as
Steve,
of now, that tends
to be...
Sorry, I was just going to say real quick, as of right now, that seems to be the general consensus on lyrics sites is that it's love. This love is sweeter than fiction.
Hmm.
And I feel like when the official lyrics get up on TaylorSwift.com, we're going to feel like idiots for having this conversation.
You know what? It's possible that she might say both in different parts of the song.
That's possible, too.
She might say love sometimes, and then she might say life sometimes, and we're confused because they're both... words and you know
I mean maybe but I don't want to get too far into speculation right now because when the official lyrics do come out we don't want people taking jabs at us because they inevitably do, specifically Hannah, who always takes jabs at us.
Nice.
She knows who she is always. Like anytime we make even the slightest error on here she's correcting us. So
well, we
I
need
think
people like that to keep us in line,
keep us in check. Yeah, because really, you know, the song is out in select countries and we have limited information on it right now. So we're doing the best we can to analyze it. And Steve, what else have you got? I feel like you've been the quiet one this conversation.
Just kind of certain parts of the song, like, you know, you discussed that part at the very beginning of the chorus that does almost sound like a Disney-esque sort of sounding song. But what
like Lizzie McGuire in Italy?
Sure, I've not seen that, but okay. I'll
oh,
go
Steve,
with it.
You're missing out.
All right. but there's a couple of things. Like, there are parts of that song, like, there's a guitar riff near the end of the song that I swear sounds 100% like Taylor. Like, I almost can see Paul Sadotti, her guitar player, like, playing that, like, at a show. Like, I don't know. It almost seems like, it's almost like Love Story a little bit. But like a very like strong guitar solo part. And then even the beginning of the song almost has a little bit of like the story of us sounding to it.
Right.
So I was able
yeah,
to pull like some
that too.
Some random like and then of course she does that little part about what is it? I something like that. Almost like eyes open a little bit.
Oh,
yeah.
The little repetitive thing. Now,
yeah.
Steve, here's something interesting that I was reading online. That people who know far more about music than I discussed is they feel like the musical inspiration came more from her co-writer, Jack Antonoff. They're saying that that's more his style, the whole electronic guitar. Well, and keep in mind, he is a guitarist. He is the guitarist for fun.
But the funny thing about that, because I actually did a little research on that, and even though he's the guitarist for fun, the reason that he even started this song with Taylor is because he was writing up a little snare drum piece. It was all about the snare drum. It actually wasn't about the guitar, which blew my mind because being a guitarist, you thought that would be what it would be.
That's interesting.
But one of the things that is kind of interesting beyond that is, so by the snare drum piece that he did, what it is it's just a sample. It's not really like a real snare drum. And that's actually We Are Young, when they made that song. It's actually the same sort of deal where it's a sample of a snare drum and not
right.
actually someone playing the snare drum.
Well, I'm sure Jack Antonoff is a musician in several capacities. I'm sure he's not exclusive to the guitar. That's just his role with fun. He's the guitarist. But I'm simply saying that the musical theme to it supposedly came from him more than it did Taylor, and the lyrics were Taylor.
Right. But there's actually one other interesting little tidbit that kind of ties in there. This is all the lovely research I like to do. So for We Are Young, the fun song, that whole snare drum part that they did in there came from Jeff Basker. And I don't know if that name sounds familiar. It might. But
should it?
It should.
Is he a member of Fun? Does he work with Taylor? In what way should it sound familiar? Because I don't know who that is either.
He was the producer for Holy Ground and The Lucky One.
Oh.
So there's like all these little like inner intertwined things. So, you know, like there's the whole Simon Cowell piece in One Direction and Taylor Swift, and then you have Jeff Basker and Jeff Antonoff and Taylor Swift.
Jack,
you know,
Antonoff, just... Steve.
Sorry.
It's okay. You were in a Jeff mode. You're like Jeff Basker, Jeff Antonoff.
All the Jeffs were in the song.
Yes.
Too many J's. Yes. But Steve, I think that happens more often than not, though. I think the entire music industry is relatively intertwined like that because, I mean, you know, look at Taylor on Red, how she co-wrote so many songs with Max Martin and Shellback, you know, and they've been, I guess, they've been co-writers on just like every number one pop song ever.
Right.
You know, so I think that's just a result of the community being small, but I think you're definitely onto something that by connecting those pieces, that's where we're seeing some of the similar sounds from.
Mm-hmm.
So you said he produced what, Holy Ground and The Lucky One?
Yep.
I can, now that you mention that, thinking about what Sweeter Than Fiction sounds like, I can see that.
Yep, exactly.
I definitely get a similar vibe to those two songs from this one.
And there's one more crazy thing about Jack Antonoff. And
yes,
that's
please
the fact
share.
That he co-wrote a song with Tegan and Sarah, and he did Brave with Sarah Bareilles.
Oh, and which, they were all guests on the Red Shore in L.A.
Exactly.
They all know each other. It's like a big party.
We need, like, It's a Small World playing here in the background now.
Right. Well, again, that's why I think, Steve, like, that's great information to know, but it also I think it's more representative of the small community that the music industry forms than it is anything with this song specifically. I think that Jeff Basker piece is definitely more relevant than Tegan and Sarah. You know, just throwing that out there.
It's all good. I did my research, though. You'd be proud, right?
I'm very proud of you, Steve. I hate doing all the talking. As much as I love talking, I hate doing all the talking. Okay, I don't hate doing the talking, but...
No, you can do some more talking now if you want.
I can do... Is that all you got? Is that
all
the research you have?
I think that I exhausted everything that I know about this song and the people involved with it.
So, I guess, you know, something we love to do here when we do song analyses of Taylor's other songs is picking out our favorite lyrics. And, Diane, you're such a wordy person, so I guess
you were
can...
gonna call on me, Adam.
I feel like the
were.
Teacher when you say that, like I'm not a teacher.
Well, this is how I feel, because I mean there's so many lines in this song that are great and so clever, and she uses just like so much like great phrasing, and it's like it's hard to pick one. So can you not call on me first, please?
Should I call on Steve?
I already gave one, but there's another line that I think is pretty crazy. Is the "Your eyes are wider than distance."
That's an interesting image, isn't that?
It is.
I've never heard that before.
It is, because the first thing you picture is, you know, someone sitting there, not whatever the opposite of cross-eyed is.
Oh, with their eyes going
like
to
one
the
eye looking in each direction.
Well,
like either that or just their eyes are very wide apart, but I think it's actually their eyes are wide open is what it is.
Well,
right.
They're shocked and they're so like, oh my God, how did this happen to me?
Right.
Which,
So that was a great observation, Steve, because I feel like that is, you know, definitely what she's trying to say is that this person is wide-eyed,
mm-hmm.
which
yeah,
is obviously the more common expression than eyes are wider than distance. But
right.
Yeah, that was a good one. Now can I call on you, Diane?
Or do you need more time?
I mean, you can call on me. Why not? I just like the whole part at the end when the music, I want to say it gets a little bit softer when she says that, and when they call your name and they put your picture in a frame, because there's something about that reminded me of Long Live.
Oh,
so
nice.
I was just like, oh, I get the reference. Like, it brings it back to Taylor. I don't know. I thought it was like a cute little touch. And I mean,
right.
Of course, it's really sweet. So,
good.
Right.
Choice.
That does remind me of Long Live. It's kind of like that point where, you know, when they point to the picture, please tell them my name.
Yeah. It's mm-hmm. it's like exactly the same type of moment, just phrased differently. And she used it to, you know, work for Paul Potts this time instead of Taylor. So.
Right. Well, I already shared my favorite lyrics, so I'm using a cop out here.
Which is actually what, Adam, like the next two lines after what I picked.
The rain we thought would last forever.
Oh, yeah, that one.
And in this perfect weather, it's like we don't remember the rain we thought would last forever and ever is the full, verse there. And it is, like I said earlier, because it's, showing that now that they're out of that lull, it's almost like it never happened. And I think that's one of the most inspirational parts of the song. And just the lyrics as a whole, something I wanted to get to with that is the fact that, like, I remember the first time reading them through, I thought they were very basic at first.
That's what I thought too. I
I was
don't
like,
know
these
why I
aren't,
had that impression.
yeah, I was like, these aren't the normal Taylor deep metaphors and things like that. But then when you really like sit and think and you have that like moment where you're like, huh, you're like, wait a second, they really are.
You talk about things like, here's a good one. Senior lost in a crowd, senior colors fade.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Yeah, things like that, but I just mean the theme as a whole is just, I don't know what I'm getting to. I mean, it goes.
Wait, you mean the theme is very like Taylor and that it's awesome or it's basic? What do you?
No, it's where she tells a story that, I guess it's like I said earlier, she tells a story that has nothing to do with any one of us, yet somehow every single one of us can relate to it still.
Right, very true.
And she has a unique way of using words to do that. And I'm just kind of like, wow, like it's impressive. And the song is so much deeper than it seems on the surface. And I think that's why, anyone out there, if you listen to it once or twice, keep listening to it a few more times and maybe like read along with the lyrics as you're listening, and you'll get a totally different perspective on the song.
Well,
I
Adam,
think
haven't you been saying lately you've been trying to, what was it?
read
Listen
Taylor's
to.
songs as poems.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Because
I
they
have been
are.
doing that.
Yeah.
And some of them are a lot better like that. Like, it wasn't until I did read these lyrics through that I saw how poetic they were, because first time I listened, was just like, oh, this is fun. And of course, my first impression was like, yes, it's not a slow song. It's not a slow song. I loved that because, judging by the name, you couldn't really tell. And I was excited it was upbeat and everything, but I was like, eh, it's okay. It's fun. It's catchy. I might listen to it in the car and not hit the skip button. And then when I read the lyrics, I was like, it was very poetic.
You had a
Very
new appreciation
magical.
for the song at that point.
Yes.
Very
Now,
nice.
I feel like this discussion's getting kind of long considering we don't have a lot of formal information yet. But one more thing I wanted to ask you guys, if you have also done, is have you looked at the rest of the soundtrack?
Yes.
I
Now,
have.
it blew me
It's not
away.
in. It's very
This song doesn't
opera-like.
fit.
Well, the whole soundtrack is all operatic.
It's all opera, exactly. And most of them are Paul Potts himself, most of the songs on the soundtrack, which would make sense. It's his movie. But like, I'm like, well, how does this fit in? So that kind of, I don't.
Well, as far as I know, Adam, the song itself is not played in the actual movie. It's played at the end,
The ending credits,
yeah, the
exactly.
credits.
Exactly. That is accurate.
So that's how they snuck it in and made it fit. Because it, I think this song sort of fits in to be like kind of like the whole movie in a smaller story, you know? So it's not supposed to fit like a certain scene or whatnot. It's supposed to be the whole movie. So that's why they threw it in at the end.
Yeah,
But
it's
why is
just
it?
very interesting to me because it doesn't fit in with the other songs.
But why is it not the last song on the soundtrack then? Why is it like three songs from the end?
Right.
That's what I
I
couldn't
don't
figure
know.
out.
I didn't make the soundtrack list, Steve. So can't
So,
answer that for you.
I hate it because I've been so positive this episode, which is very rare for me. Usually I'm the negative Nancy, Debbie Downer. They really need a male
Yeah, you
version of
really
those
are.
expressions. But here's my Debbie Downer moment.
Uh-oh.
Here comes. That brings me to the question, is the movie just using Taylor to sell their soundtrack?
I don't think so because I don't think Taylor's the type of artist that would let someone do that to her. You know, I think she wouldn't have written this song if this movie didn't make her feel something. So I
Right.
think they just got lucky. You know, like it just worked out for them this time.
That is good point.
Thank you.
That's a great point. And I mean, you know, I think you're right that Taylor felt something, because like we discussed, the love story is what pulled her in. But then something I didn't mention earlier is that Paul Potts himself admits to having been bullied as a kid and lost his self-confidence. And it's a, I mean, his story is kind of very similar to Taylor in that respect, because mm-hmm. that's where a lot of Taylor's music came from, is from her own experiences being bullied and losing her own confidence and things like that. So I think she can very much relate to Paul Potts. So this music came from a similar inspirational point as the rest of her catalog of songs.
Right.
And so as a final note on this song before we carry on with the episode.
Carry on.
Oh, no, it's a fun pun. Carry on, carry
on. I
usually
don't sing on these episodes, so that's a special one right there. I just couldn't pass that one off.
It's a special edition, Steve, of course.
Okay, there you go.
Anyway, so final note. Do you give the song two thumbs up, one thumb up, thumbs down? How do
two
we rate it?
Up.
What?
Two thumbs up.
Two thumbs up from Diane, Steve?
Two thumbs up. I thought we usually do like out of 10.
No, it's out of 13.
Which is out of 13.
But this time I was doing two thumbs up, Steve, because I was trying to make, well, you kind of ruined it, but I was going to make a joke being like, Diane and Steve give it two thumbs up, kind of like the whole Siskel and Ebert.
All the movie critics?
Yeah, Siskel and Ebert, and now Ebert and Roper, and you know, that whole thing.
Yeah.
But thanks for ruining it, Steve. So, sorry, Steve, on a scale of 1 to 13, what do you give it?
I'll give it probably like a 9 or 10.
What's your issue with the song? 9 or 10?
No, that's pretty good.
Out of 13? I don't know.
Yeah, but I mean, if you had to rate some of the other ones, a 10. Let's go 10. I think that's good.
Okay. I would give like 12.7. Like, it's almost Ooh. Perfect. Actually, it's perfect. 13.
There you go.
Diane gives it a perfect 13.
Yeah.
Where do I go? I'll give it like an 11.5.
Okay. That's fair.
Yeah. It lost some slight creativity points with me in that it repeats the chorus quite a bit. The verses are a little bit short. And I love Taylor verses.
The verses are not short. The chorus is short.
No, the verses are... Well...
Not if you look at the lyrics.
I don't know. They look like they're about four lines to me. Oh, just kidding. They broke it up into stanzas.
Yeah.
Perfect 13.
Yeah, see?
There okay. you go.
Perfect 13. Good job, Taylor. Great job, Taylor. Of course, if you guys haven't bought it on iTunes yet, please do so. So that was our Sweeter Than Fiction discussion. We would love to hear what you guys all have to say, so be sure to contact us. Let us know your thoughts, and we can do a follow-up discussion later if we get enough feedback once we have more information, because, like I said, this is a very preliminary discussion on it. We don't have a lot of formal, official information on this song yet. This was just our analysis, so we want your analysis, too, so contact us. We'll go over those methods at the end of the episode, as always. But... do, of course, have some mini segments, don't we, Steve?
Yes, we do.
So what have we got?
All right. The first one is from Twitter, from SuperProducer88. And it's, you know you're a Swiftie when you flip out seeing a 13, you smile when you see Diet Coke, and you're considering getting a Scottish Fold, which, of course, would be Meredith Taylor's cat.
Meredith Kitty.
Yes.
Cool.
This next one comes from Ashley Swift 1313 via Twitter, and they say, you know you're Swiftie when you buy the Taylor Swift Diet Coke cans even though you don't drink soda.
I did that!
I'm still looking for them.
I'm still looking for it, too. I actually haven't even been to the store, but I am looking for it.
I did that, and that was Coke's goal. They got people like us to buy it. Me and you, Ashley Swift.
Just to buy it and look at it.
Are you going to drink it, though? That's the question, Adam.
Oh, absolutely not.
Okay.
Definitely not. All right, next one comes from @Swift_lover. And something I wanted to point out is something this fellow Swiftie pointed out to me. Is Swift, they use a 1, and in Lover, they use a 3 instead of the E. So there's actually a hidden 13 in their Twitter handle.
Oh, that's so clever.
Yeah, that was pointed out to me not that long ago, so I wanted to point it out to you guys. They said, you know you're Swiftie when you're in a really bad mood, crying, etc., so you go and listen to the new Tay Talk episode.
Yay.
It's Taylor Talk. Gosh. No, I'm kidding.
You really
The
didn't have enough characters.
I know,
you
I know.
Really
I, it was a, it was a
work.
joke. It was a joke. Calm down, Diane. I know Twitter limits how much you can type.
I just don't want you to be mean to the listeners, Adam, because
hey,
I'm
just glad we can. I'm just glad we can cheer them up when they're in a bad mood and crying.
Okay, right. Good.
Okay, I got the next one here, and this one is also from Twitter. It's from Yulia and the Horses, and it's, you know you're Swiftie when everyone you know is scared to say bad things about her. I'm referring to Taylor.
Oh.
Ooh.
Yeah, people know better than to insult her around me also.
Right.
This next one comes from Swiftie Taylor 12, and they say, you know you're Swiftie when you insert the word swiftly into writing in English class.
Oh. Hey, Diane.
What?
You've got your degree in English. Did you do that?
No, I actually didn't. But that
doesn't
make
Swiftie,
you a bad person,
then.
Right? Hey!
Off the show. Bye-bye.
You're mean.
All right, next one comes from @SwiftAgency13, who said, you know you're a Swiftie when someone asks, when's her birthday? Your reply? She was born Wednesday, December 13th at 8:36 in Brampton Civic Hospital in Reading, Pennsylvania. The reaction was priceless.
8:36 a.m. or p.m.?
I was going to ask that.
I was thinking that
there.
Too, but it's not in the tweet. So SwiftAgency13, you're slacking.
Yes, we need accuracy here.
Come on now.
Yes.
That's a 12-hour difference.
That is
yeah,
a 12-hour
it could
difference.
Have been anything. Like I don't even know when she was born, though.
All right, and the next one comes from Cater Piggle on Twitter. And you know you're a Swiftie when you can't watch award shows around other people anymore because you embarrass yourself.
How do you embarrass yourself? Don't be embarrassed, be proud.
Well, I mean, probably flipping out, like, when Taylor wins awards. That would probably be my guess.
Well, you shouldn't be embarrassed about that. You're supporting your favorite artist.
This next one comes from Kyle Tinney. And they say, you know you're a Swiftie when you travel to London from Canada to see her concert twice.
What?
That is a dedication.
Wow.
I want to go to London. Airfare was like $1,200 round trip, though.
Maybe it's cheaper if you live in Canada.
I don't know. I didn't look into airfare from Canada. All right, and the last one comes from a brand new submitter, someone who hasn't ever submitted before, and said, you know you're Swiftie when you bleed red. Oh, wait.
So does that mean that Adam and Steve aren't real Swiftie? Oh, wait. Oh.
What?
Hold on. I took that to mean that girl time of the month when I first read it.
Oh my gosh, Diane, that's so dirty.
Wow.
Well, and then I remembered that I'm just embarrassing myself now. Now I'm turning, my
Stop.
Face is turning red. So, yeah.
Oh, you know you're Swiftie when your face turns red.
That works too. There's a lot
so
of red going on.
So, that was from HairFlipSwift13. So, thank you to everybody who submitted for this week's episode. Please keep them coming and we'll include them in future episodes. Now, just some odd stuff before we leave. You know, on the midweek episode, we discussed which Taylor Swift song would we live in if given the chance and why. And we had a couple of listeners share with us where they would live. And Michelle said she would live in Fearless. And Leo said he would live in either Begin Again or Everything Has Changed or both.
Those are great choices.
Those are great choices that we didn't get a chance to mention.
We didn't even
all.
Think about those ones.
No, I didn't either. And then, of course, a few more shout-outs before we go, mainly because I, well, forgot a few more. So, people that nominated us for the podcast awards, thank you to Hannah, Jessica, and Catherine. I'm so sorry for forgetting you in past weeks. I feel like such an awful person.
They'll forgive you. Don't worry. It's all good.
I sure hope so.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, we got a few things coming up on the calendar. Steve, do you mind if I say the first one and then you can do the rest?
Absolutely.
All right. First thing is to not forget about Taylor Talk's first live episode. It's going to be on Saturday, November 2nd at 3 p.m. Pacific time, 6 p.m. Eastern time, 11 p.m. in London, and the following morning, Sunday, November 3rd at 9 a.m. in Sydney, Australia. So... well, figure out your own time zone accordingly. Hopefully we can see you there. The reason I was so excited about announcing this and stole this one from Steve is because we finally have a place to send you guys. Our YouTube channel is where it's going to be streaming live, youtube.com/TaylorTalk13. So mark your calendar for November 2nd and mark the place, youtube.com/TaylorTalk13. Steve, what else we got?
Okay. On November 6th, it will be the 47th CMA Awards in Nashville, Tennessee. Taylor is scheduled to perform and is nominated for 6 awards. Be sure to tune in to find out if she's won. The awards will air Wednesday, November 6th on ABC at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central. Also coming up on November 24th is the American Music Awards, and they will also air on ABC, actually at the same time, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central. Taylor is nominated for 5 awards, and don't forget to vote for those awards. You can go to ama.votenow.tv. And there's a sneaky way, I guess, that international Swifties can vote, too.
There sure is.
If you have a Twitter account, you can have a mention at TaylorSwift13, the award you want to nominate her for, and add the hashtag AMAs. So that's, you know, the pound sign AMAS.
Right.
Example would be at TaylorSwift13, Artist of the Year, hashtag AMAs.
Perfect.
That is very sneaky.
I mean, I guess it's not that sneaky since the AMAs opened it up to Twitter voting. But yeah, I mean, there's no way to trace where the Twitter account comes from. I mean, I'm sure there is if you really, really want to, but they're not going to bother.
They're not going to do that.
So definitely international Swifties, that's a great way to vote if, you know, you're not from the U.S. Make sure you get your votes in for Taylor so we can win her even more awards. Yay! Anyway, as promised, before we go, I told you I was going to tell you how you can contact us if you want to submit to the mini segments or tell us your thoughts on Sweeter Than Fiction. You can, of course, email us, taylortalk@taylorswift13.org. You can tweet us, Facebook us, or Taylor Connect us, all three of those to TaylorTalk13. U.S. and Canada listeners can leave us a voicemail to area code 240-31-SWIFT. You can also use that phone number to text us. That's area code 240-31-SWIFT. And everybody else in the world, if you want to leave us a voicemail, be sure to do so on TaylorTalk.org. There's a tab on the side that says leave a voicemail. You can click on that and leave us a voicemail directly on the website. Aside from that, if you want to contribute to our midweek episodes, ask us a question on our Ask FM account, which is ask.fm/TaylorTalk13. And then, of course, one more reminder before you leave, our contest is still going on. It ends on, what's the last day of the month? October. 30 days has September, April, June, 31st. And November. All the rest of 31.
Which is Halloween.
Hey.
Oh no, actually I have it ending on November 1st. So November 1st is the last day to enter our contest. Remember, there's a great variety of prizes, including a very rare deluxe edition of Taylor Swift's first album sealed in the package. These things are going for well over $100 on eBay, and that's only one thing that comes in the package along with several other CDs and other awesome Taylor merch. So if you want to enter that, visit TaylorTalk.org/contest. And I know I gave you a lot of information, so if you forgot it, you really only need to remember one place, and that is TaylorTalk.org/episode91. Everything we talked about in this episode will be right there for you. Whew.
You did it.
I did it. I got all the way. My voice is a little bit tired. I'm not well practiced on that anymore because you guys have been trying it the last couple weeks.
Well, we're going to pass the baton back to you.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
So if you are a brand new listener, I hope you enjoyed your first Taylor Talk experience. I hope it was a good one for you and there are a few laughs and a lot of great information. If you're an old listener, thanks for coming back. We will see you all next week for episode 91 of Taylor Talk. This has been Adam,
Diane,
and Steve
saying have a great day, guys, and we will see you all in our Thursday episode. Woohoo!
Yay.
Don't sound too enthusiastic, Steve.
you were like overly enthusiastic, so I kind of tried to
balance me out.
Bring it down a notch.
I'm on a high right now, Steve. We got new Taylor music to listen to. It's been a year. All right, bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
See ya.
Should I do the Batman voice?
Yeah.
This podcast is not directly affiliated with Taylor Swift.